All right, it's 2:50. Last year I went over my time. This year I'm hoping that I'm going to go under my time. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have a balance between the two, and I'll hit it right on the nose. I did set an alarm this year, so hopefully that will help me, and I won't just keep going. Before we start it, if I can have a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. My plate and my cup is already so full and overflowing, and I pray that now I can just be a blessing to these ladies with your words. Lord, the topic that you've laid on my heart, I pray that you would just help it to be clear, help it not to be me coming through to them, but you. Lord, I pray that we would finish this day out well as we go to the combined session after this, and just top it all off together. I pray that you would be with us now as we listen, that we'd be able to apply something and take it home with us for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. I will start with, nothing that I am giving you today is overly inspiring, you've probably heard it all before. It's just hopefully something that will refresh your memory and that you can take and apply in your life, or think about how you're doing it. My life verse is Psalm 16:11 that I cannot quote right now because my hands are shaking and my voice is shaking and, you know, everything. So I'm going to look it up real quick because I only have the very end of it. 16, it's way before 80. I teach second grade, guys. I know that much. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So be his guest. Your presence is important. So in thy presence, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. How often do we want to have joy in our life? And when the hard times come, it's hard to find that joy. But if we go to God, that's where it's at. In his presence comes our joy. So when your presence is known, you have a sweet relationship with him, then you feel his presence. Not that his presence is gone. We just don't always take the time to feel it. We don't take the time to be in his presence, so we're not always feeling his presence with us. Deuteronomy 1:33 says, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. When the Israelites were leaving Egypt, God sent a cloud by day. This cloud showed them God's presence when it was over them as their shield. When it was behind them, God was their protection. And when it was in front of them, God was their guide. How much do we need that cloud? Not physically. I mean, I like the rainstorms, and I'm hoping we get one tonight because that's my thing. We live in the Midwest. Give me a big thunderstorm with the lightning and the rain and all the things. Some are like, no, give me the sunshine and 80 degrees. Okay, that's fine too. But how much for the Israelites did they need that cloud? His protection, his guidance, all of those things that went with knowing that cloud was there. I wrote out this article and then in second grade Bible for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about Moses and the Israelites. I did not know that was going to happen when I prepared this. So it was neat how the Lord was just refreshing my memory with the story and putting it all together. And then today, little things that have been said in each session I've been in, I thought, thank you, Lord, for just giving me that confirmation that my lesson, if nothing else, is for me, because it's all worked together and made sense. And it's just been neat to teach the kids how, yes, the Israelites complained, and yes, they murmured, and yes, they whined, but God was still with them every step of the way. Even when things weren't going right and they got mad at Moses and they got mad at God, God didn't give up on them. Did he want to? Yes. He said, I'm going to kill them all and I'm going to start over because they're not obeying and they built the calf, you know, all that. And Moses went to God and said, no, because what will that tell other people? But God was still with them. You can feel his power. 1 Chronicles 16:27 says, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. How much do we need that strength that comes from him, from being with him? You can feel his power when you're close to him in his presence. He'll give you rest. He'll provide rest. Exodus 33:14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I know as a mom of now three teenagers, I'm go, 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 go. And my mom, who only had two teenagers at the time, has made it into retirement, and she still is go, 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 go. I don't think we get to rest until we get to heaven. That's when rest comes. And then we'll probably be too busy praising and worshiping God that we won't rest there either, but it'll be a different kind of busy. It'll be the busy that we've been living on this earth for. We finally made it to worship him. But we still have to stop in those busy moments and find the rest. And that comes from being in his presence, having that time with him. There will be security when you're in his presence. Psalm 31:20. Yes, I know none of this is there, and I should have given you like four lines above point one. I'm so sorry. Pick some other lines and put it there. There will be security. Psalm 31:20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. I am not a Bible scholar. A lot of times people will come to me and they'll say, what about this? And what about this question? And what about this? And I'll say, let's go talk to Pastor. Pastor can help you with that. Because it doesn't come quickly for me for all the things. I just take the verse and I read it and that's what it is. Okay, Lord, that makes sense. Here we go. Let's apply it. But I know that I need to hide from pride myself and then from strife of tongues. I just sat in a session and one of the speakers said something about the biggest battle I think we fight in church is gossip. And I thought, Lord, help me not to be the one that's doing that. Help it not to be something that keeps me from your presence because I can't guard my own tongue. I can't keep my mouth shut when I hear this or I hear that or I want to, oh, did you hear? Did you know? It's not my business to share. Help me to not cause strife with what's being said. And then there's security that comes in knowing that you're in the presence of God. Then you will be refreshed. Acts 3:19. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Can't get much more clear than that. Refreshing comes when you're in the presence of the Lord. So how do we be his guest? How can we be in his presence? I had a picture I was going to put on the board, and then my husband stole the little adapter because he's teaching at the same time that I'm teaching, and I thought, oh, I only have one picture. It's fine. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But it was a chair at a table with a Bible, and do you have that place? It may not be at a table. It may not even be in a chair. It could be walking down the street on a walk in the morning or whatever that place is for you. But how do you get into God's presence? Do you have that time with him? So number one is at the throne of God. At the throne of God. Again, very simple. The first bullet there is, how is your Bible time? How is your Bible time? We should have a desire to meet with God daily. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, or being led in the wilderness, however you look at it, their manna came daily. If they tried to hoard it, it turned into worms. If they didn't go out and gather double on Saturday, they didn't have enough for the next day. They had to get it daily. We can't go to church on Sunday and make it to the next Sunday. We can't go to church on Wednesday and make it to the next Sunday. It has to be daily. It has to be you going to God saying, Lord, what can I learn from you today? I will tell you right now that I am probably teaching this lesson and I probably struggle the most with this lesson. It's been the Lord, hey, this is for you. Apply it to your life. And I'm praying and making all the decisions right along with you. I am not teaching this because I am anything great or haven't mastered at all. It is a day-by-day thing. Sometimes hour by hour to try to get that time in. Our relationship with Christ is a daily activity, consistently going to have a time with God. Whatever that time is for you, keep it daily. When your day's crazy, your morning didn't go as planned, think ahead to the time that you'll have coming in the future to stop and have that time with Him. Don't just give up. Well, I was supposed to get up and I was supposed to read my Bible, but my alarm didn't go off, and the kids were this, and somebody called me, and I had to rush to a family member's because they were sick, and now I've just missed the time. I guess I'll start tomorrow. No, yes, start tomorrow. I'm not saying don't start tomorrow, but is there a time later in the day? If you have small children, are they napping? If you have a break at work, a 15-minute break, lunch break, whatever, if you're retired and you have a drive, can you push the play button on the Bible app on your phone and listen to it while you go to the next stop? Can you find a time to get something to make it through to the next day to start over in the morning, whenever that is? It could take the crazy morning that you had with the unexpected whatever that messed up your plans and give you a calm and a peace that comes for the rest of the day instead of just waiting until the next morning. Find it there. There's some mornings where it's, Mom, can you crimp my hair? And then can you curl my hair? And wait, Mom, I need a haircut. I'm going to get demerits if I don't have my hair off my ears, all at 6:45 in the morning, and we leave at 7. And I'm like, guys, we had all night. What is going on, you know? And I know that fruit break's coming. I can take 10 minutes, and I can open my Bible and say, okay, Lord, what can I do? I come early enough that I can do it before school. I leave a little bit of time in there, so if I have a crazy morning and life is not going the way I want it to, there's a pocket of backup time. Or, Lord, I know it was quick this morning. Let me put in a little more. Let me put in a little more. Let me put in a little more. It doesn't have to be just one time a day. Go to God daily. But, yes, maybe it's multiple times a day because I just read a book. I read a book. I don't know if anybody has read it. And it was, the title is The Glory of His Presence or something by Brother Lawrence or something like that. And it's like 1 million copies sold. And then I Googled his name, and then Wikipedia came up with some information. And since my kids go to school and they're writing all papers, now it's don't believe Wikipedia because people update it. And I don't know all the things, I just know. But when I was reading, the book was great and the information was great. I'm just not quite sure about the man. I'm sure he's fine. I just, again, it's one of those, I don't have all the foundation, whatever. But it talked about how he lived his life moment by moment, trying to stay in communication with the Lord, to be in his presence moment by moment. And he said, don't forsake the things you have to do. You know, if you have a job, he worked in the kitchen of a monastery or something at some point, and he washed the dishes. So while he washed the dishes, he prayed. I have heard other ladies say that is their time to pray because you're a captive audience. You have to wash the dishes. So they look out the window if they have one, or they look at their dishes and they just pray for the people on their list, and that's how they go. I've heard some people say that they go so far as tacking up a Sunday school list right there where they're washing the dishes, and that's how they remember to pray for all the kids in their Sunday school class, or whatever it is that works for you to be able to pray for others, to be able to have that fellowship with God on a daily basis. The next one. These dots don't match, guys. What is going on? Something time and something time. Oh, no. I bet it was Bible time, and the next one is prayer time. Yeah, good guesses. I don't know. Maybe the back matches, but my notes don't match. Well, what I'm going to say matches, but it's not specific in there. It says, where is your prayer closet or chair or place? So I'm sure that it says prayer time. Have you ever prayed for someone's health and they didn't get better? Have you ever prayed to stay healthy and you ended up sick? Have you ever prayed for income to meet a need and the money didn't come? Have you ever prayed for an answer and the answer never came? Those are always hard prayers. I specifically have prayed some of these, and the answer that did come was one I didn't like. That's a tough answer to swallow. It's a tough time to be in. Sometimes in these situations, it's easy to stop praying. Well, I've prayed for this for years, and I'm not getting an answer. Our church in California, my husband is from California. We got married and moved back to California. We're on staff there in church, at his home church. And There was a lady in the ministry there that prayed for her husband for 40 years to come to salvation. And she finally did. She prayed and he needed to be saved. He came to church and it was the pastor's wife that led him to the Lord, but it took 40 years. Sometimes the answers don't come when we want them to come. God's timing is not our timing, and that's often the hardest to put trust in, and knowing that it's easy to say God's way is always best, and we know all the cliche little phrases, but when you take those cliche little phrases and have to apply it to your life, that's when it gets hard. When the rubber meets the road, you're like, okay, now I've been saying all these things, and it's me in the boat, and I'm the one that has to keep paddling the oars and doing what I'm telling all these other people to do because it's my life now. Sometimes we pray and then God doesn't answer on our time frame, so we think that the best solution now is to help God. Lord, Lord, you're just not going fast enough, so here, how about this? It's always, well, and then you start rationalizing in your mind. And I don't know what the word is, but you're trying to excuse it. Well, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And now we start working it out in our own way. That's it. And usually when that happens and we try to fix it and we try to help God along, I'm going to help you, God, it usually doesn't end up better. You usually end up going back and saying, Lord, if I would have just waited for you, this would not be such a hot mess right now. And my way made it worse than it ever could have been. If I would have just waited and trusted in you, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Rather than trying to figure it out on our own, maybe sometimes there's a problem with our prayer. If you need to iron a shirt, so you pull out the ironing board. Do we even iron anymore? I know my generation doesn't. Like, I have an ironing board, and I have an iron, and I think my husband uses it. Like, I'm not the wife that's like, honey, get out your shirt and let me iron. I'm sure I'm missing a ministry as a pastor's wife by not ironing my husband's shirts. I'm probably dropping them. I don't know. I feed them. That's my goal in life. You are fed. You have clean clothes. Mission accomplished. Ironing, good luck. I'm like, here's the wrinkle spray. Anyway, random side note. You pull out the ironing board, you pull out the iron, you put the shirt on there, the pants, the dress, whatever you're ironing, and you just start going to town. It's not really accomplishing anything because you missed the one thing. You didn't plug it in. And then if you have an iron on mine, you didn't turn the dial to turn it on. Sometimes it's not even the old school, you just plug it in and then you burn yourself because it gets hot. Now you gotta turn the dial and make it work. You're missing the source. You need the electricity. You need the power. Sometimes your prayer is not the problem because you're doing the right thing. You're going to God, but it's us. We are not plugged into that source. We haven't taken the time to communicate with God to make sure that he's hearing us. Yes, God hears our prayers, but there is reasons he doesn't. Unconfessed sin is a very real thing. You have to be daily confess. That's part of being in his presence, confessing that sin on a daily basis. Sometimes you get in a rut and you think, I go and I teach second graders all day. Lord, am I really sinning that much? Then I look at my day and I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, I got it. You know, that little one that's driving me nuts, you do. Okay, I guess I could have been a little kinder. I could have had a little more grace, you know, all the things. So yes, we all have the unconfessed sin. And if you think, well, I just can't think of it, ask God. I promise he will bring it to your mind. He will tell you it's this and this and this and this. And then you can plug back into the source. You can plug back into the power that you need to get those prayers answered. Sometimes we treat God like the spare tire in our trunk. And we go throughout our days. Life is good. Things are going great. Lord, thank you for my food. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for the great day. In Jesus' name, amen. And we have the rote prayers. you know, three times a day we're going to God, yes, praise the Lord, because that breakfast is good and that lunch is good and that dinner is good. But what about all the other things? Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for all the things that we can thank God for and be in communication with Him. But instead it's, oh no, I just found out my mom is sick, or I just found out that I have a flat tire. Oh Lord, I need your help now. Does He want to help us in those moments? Definitely He wants to help us in those moments. But He's not our spare tire. He's not even in the passenger seat. He should be the one steering the car. He should be the one driving you. It shouldn't be a last minute resort to, oh Lord, I need you now. Can you come help me? It should have been, yes, those three prayers a day where we're thanking Him for the food, but maybe you could make it a little more specific, a little more, add something to it. I find myself, because it's pray in the morning, we have our prayer request, and then we pray for fruit break, and then we pray for lunch, and I have consciously made an effort with these kids to not just pray the same thing every day. Then I'm not teaching them anything. I'm not teaching them how to pray, how to thank God for the things. Every morning on the way to school, my kids pray. So I pray Monday and Friday, and they have three kids. They pray Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I make sure on Friday my prayer is not the same thing. You know, thank you for the start of this week. Be with us as we go to school. You know, all the things. I want them to consciously think about, how can I talk to God specifically for today? Specifically at this moment in our life, what do we need to pray for? Because I don't want them to just think, dear Jesus, thank you for this food. Amen. Yes, there are times where that comes in handy, and I think the Lord wants it. We're all starving. It's been a long day. You know, just bless the food. Let's eat. Pray for the missionaries at bedtime. Whatever it may be. But pray for the missionaries. I'm not discounting that, because they're very important. But maybe not all of them at one time. Pray for one of them at every meal, you know, that type of thing. But get to the food. But then add it in. Make it a prayer time that's meaningful, that's teaching something, that has some substance, not just the rote over and over. We want to make sure that God is with us in every aspect, every part of our day. We're constantly pray without ceasing. Some have said, well, I'm thinking in that book with Brother Lawrence, it was pray continually. That doesn't mean we're constantly uttering under our breath, you know, communication with Him. It means when somebody mentioned earlier the name that's brought to your mind. If somebody has been put on your mind two or three or four times, there's probably a reason. There's probably something going on. If that happens to me and it's during the school day, I can't necessarily pick up the phone and say, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? I thought of you and I'm praying for you. And then listen to this. I don't have time for that, but I can send a text. But even more than that, I can stop and I can pray. I can say, you know, Lord, this person is on my heart the middle of the night. How many of you have ever been woken up in the middle of the night? Somebody's name is there or something's going on. I learned not early enough that's the time to stop and pray for them. Obviously, maybe something's going on, maybe nothing's going on, but if I'm going to be awake in the middle of the night, I might as well at least give that 30-second prayer. It doesn't have to be an hour-long pleading for God to intervene, whatever, but just a quick, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but you do. Help them, whatever. Whenever you're prompted, pray for someone to be able to encourage them. God's interested in the small details of our lives just as much as the extreme circumstances. Just as much as my mom's sick, or I have a flat tire, or I have to take this one to the doctor because something's wrong with them. It's, Lord, what do you want me to wear today? Lord, how should I treat this conversation? Lord, how should I help my children? In those simple, easy, we can do it on our own moments, they should still include the Lord. They should still include, how can I live for you today? How can I live in this moment with your guiding hand? Because that's the communication He wants. He wants that fellowship with us. We were made to fellowship with the Lord, but how often do we drop the ball and only pull Him out for those extreme circumstances? The more we communicate with God, the closer we become to Him. We must be diligently seeking Him. Calling a parent or a friend and unloading our concerns on them may temporarily relieve the pain, the frustration, but true spiritual and emotional healing can never be found outside of God's presence. You may feel better in the moment. My phone call is always, "Mom, you'll never believe what happened in my life right now." And my mom's always like, "Really?" You know, she's my come back down, get out of the clothes, get away from the drama, you know, that type of thing. But just as fast as I pick up the phone to call my mom, did I send a prayer? "Lord, this just happened and you're not going to believe it, even though you know it just happened." Really, I don't know. I don't know what to do in this situation. My prayer with him should be much faster than my prayer with than my phone call to my mom. She doesn't have the answer. She's not, other than she's going to, you know, bring me back down and ground me. But God can do that too, and probably better than my mom can. But you still need to be in his presence. You need to have that relationship with him, because if your relationship with him is better and that fast, maybe those drama moments won't come, because you'd be more in tune with him and it would be less fly off the handle and all of the things, because you would be in tune with him. "Lord, how do I handle this situation?" Before you respond, it would be, "Lord, what do I do?" And then you would have the answer. It's that deep breath, now react, instead of, "Well, duh," whatever happened in your life. Next one, number two. What time do I get out of here? 3:30, 3:35? I don't know, something like that. The next one, number two, is in your home. The devil would love nothing more than to continue to destroy our homes. If he can keep us divided against each other and continually fighting, then we're doing nothing to further the cause of Christ, much less trying to be in the presence of Christ. I think the devil wins his battles these days. I don't know, even these days, it's probably been going on since before I was born, by just keeping the Christian distracted. If you're distracted, even distracted with something good, it doesn't have to be distracted with something evil or bad or a sin. If you're just distracted in general, he's won, because now you're not doing anything to further the cause of Christ. You're busy in your day-to-day routines, but I have to get the kids here, and I have to get this done, and I have to go see my mom, and I have to take a meal with this person, and I'm supposed to be in the nursery, and then I'm teaching junior church, and this person's now gone in Sunday school, so I'm filling in. And now we're busy, and those things are legitimate things. We need a Sunday school teacher. We need to take the meal to the sick person. You need to go visit your mom. You need to take care of the kids. You need to do all of those things. But if all of those things are taking the time away from the relationship that you could have with God, they're now an idol, ultimately, an idol. And that comes because I just taught the Ten Commandments. it's something that's taking the place of your relationship with God. Those things are all well and good, but I feel like the devil uses that more often than not as a distraction. "Lord, I'm not struggling with any serious deep sin. I'm not breaking one of the Ten Commandments. You know, obviously, thou shalt not kill, commit adultery. I'm not stealing. I'm not doing all of those things. But I am distracted. I am wanting to turn on the TV and watch 2 hours of whatever show, but I can't spend 2 hours listening to the Bible." Some of us would be like, 2 hours? What? How do you listen for that long? I don't know, honestly. To be honest and real with you, I don't know, because I'm the one that turns on the TV and says, "Oh, I'll watch this show for 2 hours." But my goal should be to communicate with God as much as I spend doing whatever else it is, whether it's the podcast or even the podcast. It may be a great podcast by someone else, but recently I just heard someone say, "Are you going to the words of someone else for your spiritual growth more than you're going to God's word for your spiritual growth? Are you reading a devotional book more than you're reading God's book?" Those are well and good. Devotional, I'm not discounting them. Read a devotional. I have the YouVersion app on my phone, and I find the whatever devotional deals with whatever I'm going on in my life. Hope, anger, marriage, children, all the things. You can find them all in there. You just need to make sure that's not taking the place of your time reading God's word. That's good. Yes, read the devotional books. Go to ladies' Bible study. Go to whatever Bible study you have at your church. Do all of those things. But that doesn't take the place of your time alone with God. God, what can you give me from your word today that's for me? That's something I can learn from. The devil likes to bring those distractions in. So some of the things to think about regarding your home. Letter H, bullet point H. Is it a haven? Is it a haven from the world? Titus 2, 4, and 5, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Is your home a protection from the world and the evil that's found there? Are you bringing the world into your home? Sometimes we say, oh, well, we go out to do this and we go out to do that. Well, but then you can bring it in. Are the books in your house good? Are the movies in your house good? Are whatever you're streaming good? Is whatever you're listening to on, we don't have radios anymore. Are you, whatever you're listening to on your phone, your podcast, your news app, whatever it is, however you're getting that, is it good? Is it something that's going to grow you closer to God in your relationship? Does that mean you should forever stop listening to the news? In some cases, yes, because who knows what the news is telling you is accurate anyway. But there's a lot of things Pastor Allen does. The kids at school have to do a current event. Sometimes my kids come to me, and I went to Pastor Allen, and I said, Pastor, my kids are learning about more shootings and more this and more that than I have ever told them in their lives. And he was like, well, it's still good for them to have an opinion and know what's whatever. And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And so they keep doing it. But it's good for them to know, because a lot of times people come to me at church, did you hear about this? It just happened this week. No, I live under a rock. I teach second graders. They don't know about any of that, you know, type stuff. But that's not because I don't have access to it. I can scroll just as much as anyone else and read, but if you're scrolling, what are you clicking on? What are you allowing to come into your mind and into your heart? You don't have to click the article to read it. You don't have to open watch the movie. You don't have to whatever. You can let that stuff go out and bring in the things that will protect your home. Oh, open. Is your home open to others? Proverbs 31:20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Romans 12:13. Given to hospitality is the part of the verse there. Who are you influencing? Who are you reaching? Who are you opening your home, your life, your heart? Maybe you don't open your home. If anybody came and looked in my house, that would be the end of the world. Okay, so take them out for coffee. So take them out for a meal. So go sit at a park and sit on a bench. It doesn't have to cost anything. Who are you influencing? Who are you desiring to reach, encourage, build up? Do you have others into your home for fellowship? Somebody just hit about that hospitality, and I thought, oh, yeah, I used to do that. I should get back to that. We had church members into our house when we first moved. When we first moved to Indiana 5 years ago, I told my husband, I said, we are going to do this. Our house is terrible. If you came to look at my house, you would be like, wow, you do not have a house for hospitality. I know that. But I told the Lord when we moved here, I said, I am going to do this. It is, if they want to come, maybe it'll prompt them to help me start a fixed pastor's house budget. I don't know. But I wanted to show people that we were real, that I love them, that I'm there for them and their burdens and their cares and their whatever it may be going on in their life. I didn't want to be, no, you can't come. We can't have you over because you'll see the dirty dishes in my sink and you'll see the dust on my counter and you'll see the whatever it is. Right now, you'll see that we have no family room ceiling because I ripped it all down. Because I'm trying to motivate my husband for a construction project and it hasn't worked yet. But there's still hope. Needless to say, I will entertain. My mom came and she was like, Erica Marie, this is not okay. People are going to come to your house and they're going to see all your shoes right over there. Mom, where am I supposed to put these shoes? Like, we have to wear shoes. So she bought me a shoe organizer thing. Okay, Mom, it makes you feel better. I'm all for it. Why not? But needless to say, you all wear shoes. You're not coming to my house barefoot, so you'll just come and see my shoes. You know, it's fine. But you still need to have hospitality, whatever that means for you. Are you the one that says, I can't cook? Hospitality could extend to that mother that had the new baby or the lady that just had knee replacement surgery and isn't cooking because she can't get up and walk. Are you signing up for those meals? Are you signing up to take the meal? No, I could never do that. I don't cook. I don't either. I have two meals that I sign up to take that I feel people will eat if I take to them, and I won't kill them. Otherwise, it's here's Subway, or send me your order for whatever fast food place you want, and I'll drop it off at your house. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Go to the grocery store and buy them the frozen skillet meal or the frozen lasagna that they can cook whenever they want, you know. Something I know when we had kids and got the meals, they would come every day and you're like, we're not eating all this food, you know. And then I had the one lady that brought me the frozen lasagna and I was like, bless you, now I can eat all the leftovers and save the lasagna, you know. Not one more thing. But don't not sign up to be a hospitable person because you're afraid to do whatever that may entail. You can find a way. If that's something that scares you and it's totally out of your comfort zone, then don't. That ministry is not for everyone. You need to find the ministry that works for you. Maybe your ministry is better rocking the babies in the nursery, and that's where your ministry is. Do that. Whatever is hospitality to you to encourage and grow someone to be the older, wiser woman leading the younger one. To those of us that are the young ones in the room and those of you that are older than us, you're older than someone. That someone may be a teenager. And if you're a grandma, that one may be a young mom. If you're a young mom, it may be, you know, someone in school. Whatever that younger level is for you, guide and bring them along with you to help them grow. M, morals. Morals. Does your home have morals? I hope we all answer yes. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Stand consistently on the convictions God has given you. In your speech, in your actions, in your facial expressions, in your dress, in your venues you visit, activities you go to, in your everyday actions, are you bringing all the glory to God? That comes back to those quick little conversations. Lord, is this something you would be pleased if I chose to do? Is this something you would be pleased if I went here, if I did that, if I said that? Those morals that we have caught more than taught are being caught by those living closest to us. If you have caught a conviction, you should be teaching it to the next generation, we just talked about. So my prayer is that I teach my children, the others around me that are watching, why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why do I go here? Why do I not go here? Why do I dress like this and not dress like this? Why do I not watch that, but I watch this? Why do I... whatever it is, why do I try to make my face smile even when I don't want to? My face is an open book. People will tell, my husband came up to me the other day, oh, real honesty. This man in the church asked if you were mad at him. I said, what? He said, yeah, you always like have a scowl on your face when he comes by you. And I was like, well, I probably am mad at him. But I need to tell my face that I need to be kind and pleasant around everyone. That's not my goal in life, is to have people think I'm angry all the time, but my face is an open book. My mom's been telling me that since I was in junior high. You may not be saying it out loud, but we're reading it on your face. Oh, okay, that's my 5-minute warning. Oh, okay, Mom, I hear you, I hear you. Okay, going on. So make sure you're teaching why you're doing what you're doing. Don't just let the next generation come up behind us. Well, my mom made me do this. My grandma said that we have to do this. No, teach them why. Why are we doing what we're doing? Be an example. E, example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. When someone sees you out and about, do they wonder what you were doing there? When they hear the activities you've been participating in, do they wonder why you chose that activity? When you get dressed in the morning, do you ask yourself, is what I'm wearing pleasing to God? Are my day-to-day choices allowing others to see that I'm bringing God glory? Or am I living just like Jane Doe across the street and no one would be any wiser? If God never crosses your mind in any decisions that you make throughout the day, you're probably living like Jane Doe across the street. Unless Jane Doe knows the Lord. I don't know who your neighbors are. So if it's someone that is saved living across the street, then I'm not talking about that person. But we want to make sure that the example we're setting is honoring to the Lord. Do your neighbors see you get in the car every morning with a cheerful, happy spirit going to church? Or is it, come on, we're going to be late again, get in the car, buckle and let's go. Some days, yes. Yes. Other days, let's make sure. My prayer is that others would see less of me, less of Erica Stallings, more of Jesus Christ. Can we truly and honestly hang the home sweet home sign on our walls? Take the time to look for the good in your family members and thank them for something they did today. Spread the encouragement. Number three, at your church, are you God's guest? At church. Your presence is important there. Your pastor and pastor's wife are mentally taking attendance every Sunday. Whether you think it or not, they know when you're not there. Your presence is important. Even if you don't say anything to them, even if you wave across the room as you're going out the door, that wave could mean more to them because it's just the connection. Hey, we're okay. And I'm going home to eat lunch. Whatever it may be. I'm going to skip this section. Do you come ready to be an encouragement to someone else? Sometimes your encouragement may come just by writing notes to someone, just by helping a young mother get their kids corralled to the car, whatever that may be. Do you come ready to be an encouragement to something? Someone, going back up to the other one, do you have a ministry? Can you fill in the blank? My name is so-and-so, and my ministry is this. I say hello to every lady in the auditorium on Sunday morning without fail. They will get a handshake, a smile, and a hello from me every day. That's not a ministry. Most definitely it is, because if you're like me, who's the pastor's wife? What? I just want to sit in my chair. If they want to talk to me, they'll come say hello to me. No, no, no. Put on your pastor's wife hat. Go be friendly. But I'm not a pastor's wife. Great. Go be friendly. Maybe you're not going to every lady. It's just the ones in your section. The one row behind you, the row in front of you. Start somewhere. And then if that's not your ministry, maybe you sing in the choir. Maybe you work in the nursery. Maybe whatever that is, put your name there. Make that sentence. My name is so-and-so. My ministry is this. And get a ministry. If you don't have one, go ask your pastor. He probably has more than enough to give you one. If you've ever met a person in your church that says that your church is not friendly, they don't feel welcomed, think about the times you've seen them. Are they the last one in the door? Are they the first one out the door? It's probably not your church that's not friendly. It's probably them. Because a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The quote, I went out to find a friend, could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, friends were everywhere. You have to be the friend. You're probably not going to just magically appear. Last one, do you come ready to be an encouragement to your pastor, his wife, and his family? I will not hit this one because I am a pastor's wife, but here we go. How can we expect the fullness of I'm not giving you there. Here's the conclusion. How can we expect the fullness of joy if we are treating our time with God as a drive-through window or a DoorDash order? Can you imagine trying to have a relationship with your spouse or best friend with the amount of time you give to being in the presence of God? If we don't daily talk to our family, life will not happen, especially if you have kids. Life will not happen if you do not daily be in the presence of God. Being in His presence will not happen accidentally. You must be intentional with your time with Him. Whatever that time is, make it happen. Whatever it is for you. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time that we had. Thank you for this lesson. I pray that it's encouragement to someone. Be with us as we close out the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.